Welcome to Reality of the Rose with your host, Natalie Sprink.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 115 of Reality of the Rose. I'm your host, Natalie Sprink. Well, I'm coming to you, I'm recording this on a Saturday afternoon, afternoon. And I just got in from working out in the yard for a couple hours, doing some physical, empowering girl boss work. I mean, that's just my perspective. But so in Wisconsin, our fall is almost over as far as the leaves on the trees. We always have really pretty colors on our trees up here in northern Wisconsin. And I love, love, love that part of fall. Although our temperatures went from 80 down to the 50s, we completely skipped. We had a couple weeks of 70s, no 60s, it seems like, and went straight into the 50s. I don't know, maybe they'll still come. Anyway, so we have a lot of trees around our house. And so leaves in the yard is a huge thing. So I just spent 2 hours and two tanks of gas with our leaf blower blowing leaves. Okay. But this isn't the handheld leaf blower. This is the massive backpack one where you put the backpack on and you have the blower in your right hand and you just go nuts. It's actually so fun. My right arm is shaking because I did a lot of right arm work. Now my left arm needs to be equivalent, but I don't know, it felt kind of good. It's a nice day. It's probably 55 today, kind of sunny. And, so I'm I feel cool. Don't tell Tim, because then he'll want me to do this all the time. So I decided to come in and record the podcast with a glass of wine. Also, just as a side note too, I started watching, so I'm a Kristen Hannah fan, her books, the author, and she writes a lot of good. She wrote The Nightingale. She wrote, what's the other one I read? That was really good. Oh, I can't think of it. Anyway, she also wrote Firefly Lane, which is made into a Netflix show. Sorry. But all her books, at least that I've read so far, I don't know, maybe some of them deviate from this, but all the ones I've read so far are sort of women empowerment books, but set in different time periods. Back in history, they tell stories. What The Nightingale was during the Holocaust. And it's basically a story about two sisters and the different things they went through during that time. And then The Great Plains, The Great West, The Dust Storm. What the hell is it called? Something like that. But it happened in the Dust Bowl back in the whatever era that was. And it was about a woman who just got through those horrible times with her kids and her husband left her and stuff like that. Firefly Lane, I had not read, but saw that there's been two seasons. I think there's only two seasons based on the book. And it has Katherine Heigl and the chick from, what was that show? And what's her name? I can't think of it. But anyway, I started watching it last night and I'm on the fifth episode. It is so good. So I highly recommend. But after I record the podcast, I plan to sit down and watch another five episodes because, I've got no boys home with me and I'm watching whatever I want to and drinking wine and, I guess probably eating popcorn. So anyway, we are here to actually recap Golden Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise, not hear about my Saturday afternoon and evening. As wild as it is, leaf blowing and Firefly Lane. I mean, you talk about crazy. That's me. I am crazy. All right. Well, okay. Golden Bachelor, obviously we're going to start there. Again, so good. I'm so happy still with it. Although we did get into a little girl drama, finally, in episode 3. It was definitely not extreme, and it was definitely elevated as far as it not getting out of hand and it not being blown out of proportion it feels like something that actually would happen. I mean, as far as like would happen in real life, even with some friends, you know, one would get annoyed with the other. And instead of just completely talking about it behind her back or the other one hearing about it and not confronting each other, one just goes to the other, confronts her about it. They are direct and honest with each other. One actually kind of takes ownership of it and they just sort of end it. You know, like, I don't know if it was completely ended. I'm sure we'll see some more of it. But the way it was handled was so, so completely different. And I put it on this age of women, again, just having life experience, not wanting to take bullshit, not wanting to create drama because of the cameras being in front of them. It would just be like actual maybe personality flaws, but them being self-aware enough to know that they could work on those flaws. Like, I loved it. I just loved it. And again, it made me proud to be a like older woman. Just, and like, what's to make me embrace my like being sure of myself and like not taking shit and just, I don't know, maybe I'm digging too deep and maybe I'm going way overboard, but I just love the show. And it seems I still need to get somebody on that's from a younger generation and get their perspective on this. But I just love it. Anyway, so let's start here. We start out with the same way we've sort of started the past two episodes, and that is with no music and a scene of it's a foreshadowing scene of what is to come. And it is of Gary sitting on a bench and he is crying. So it's very quick. And then they cut to like, you know, whatever, one day ago. They don't say that, but so they, and they cut to the women in the mansion. It's current time. So immediately we see that we're going to start getting some of the cattiness. And they actually start with like, I have a blister on my finger from blowing leaves. Wow. Cool. So we have Kathy bringing up that there's some women, and she specifically means Teresa, that are like in the house and they have sort of one personality that's more like suppressed or like just super chill. But as soon as Gary walks in, they totally perk up and are like, oh yeah, I'm like the life of the party kind of person, which is like, this kind of thing has obviously always been talked about on all the Bachelor seasons. But it is probably a thing that is to an extent somewhat true, because obviously if you're courting a guy that you don't know that well, it's probably a little bit of a human, reaction that if you are just sort of sitting around, like not into conversation that some of the women are having or what, just ever having maybe a bad day or whatever, that when the guy you kind of like walks in, you're going to perk up simply because of the fact that he walked in the room, you know? So I can't really put that on Teresa that much. And Kathy definitely seems like she is going to she is just like the colorful narrator of this season for sure. She's gets a lot of ITM time on screen. Now in this episode, she did get more screen time with Gary, but for the most part, her screen time is ITM time. And I still don't think that her and Gary have that great of chemistry. I know he gave her the rose, but that I think that was for like, that was a bit of a producer rose, I believe. So anyway, she's talking about this. And but she does say that she is jealous of Teresa's tiny clothes because Teresa's a pretty little lady. And she's like, you know, she gets out five shirts and it could just fit like in the palm of my hand, which was kind of funny. But so then Jesse comes in to tell them that this week there's going to be a group date and it's going to include everyone, and that there'll be one one-on-one date. So he tells them that the group date is going to happen right now. And what I sort of like, and again, I think this is because of time restraints and it's only 1 hour, but what I like is that they literally, it's going to be a talent. Wow. I also have like leaves all in my hair. Sorry. I'm realizing all these things as I'm recording. So the group date is a talent show. He tells them that, and they show, what's her name? Who's the lady? Joan. Yeah. Joan. They show her worried because she's like, I don't have a talent. That would be me. I'd be like, I'm a great TV watcher. Would you like to see me watch TV? I can do that with the best of them. So but they don't like spend any time on the women, like practicing their talents, which I like and I appreciate. So they basically cut from Jesse telling him it's going to be a talent show, literally to the women walking into like a theater with the stage where they're going to do the talent show. And Gary and Jesse and like a pretty big audience are waiting for them. And Gary announces that Caitlin Bristow, yay, is the host with them. Or, well, not the host, that she's going to be one of the judges. Interesting, because I think it's also great because they bring back another lead. I love how that is the one thing I do like, is that they're bringing back past lead Bachelor people. I don't know, just to sort of like bring in the history, good history to the Bachelor. Cause I think also fans appreciate that, seeing that there are still these leads that are still part of the Bachelor franchise. Plus it just makes it interesting. I kind of wish they would incorporate them more in the plot line, because we didn't really see that much of Caitlin and we didn't really see that much of her personality. She was basically just there judging, but that's fine. Let's see. Caitlin does say that the winner gets a one-on-one dinner with Gary like that night. So Sandra goes first, and I love Sandra. I love her. I don't think she's going to win. They don't show that much time with her and Gary, but I absolutely adore her. I think she looks funny. I think she would be a blast to hang out with, like absolute blast. And she looks so, so, so good for her age. But she goes first and she does this little, like a comedian sort of skit where she talks about how, there was two women and whatever, they each were given so much money by this guy. And like, he wanted to see how they would each use it. And he was considering marrying both of them. And like she describes, like, this woman spent this money on this and saved this, and this woman did the opposite. And then she goes, so which one do you think he married? And they're like, I don't, which one? And she's like, duh, the one with the big boobs, which is a pretty good joke. Like, I've heard that joke before, but it's a good joke. Susan did karate. Ellen teaches sex ed to middle school students. That's her talent, which is hilarious because I guess she really does. But she was said something to the effect of, this side of the room, what do you call your hoo-ha? It's called a vagina. I thought that was super cute. This stuff is never as funny when I say it on here, is it? Never as funny. April then sings in like, the song has to do with like women empowerment kind of. Kathy does push-ups. Nancy catches whipped cream. Like, she bounces it off her hand into her mouth. Leslie dances and she can dance. Does she teach dance? Is she the yoga teacher? I can't remember. I think she has something to do with dance. Anyway, she does some like dirty strippery kind of dancing, brings Gary on stage and puts him in a chair and does some like sort of suggestive dancing with him. The women, this was another thing where the women weren't super impressed, or at least I made it look like it. They were like, on one side of their mouths are like, okay, damn, Leslie can dance and she is really good at this and she's got the body for it. Again, looks, I think she's 70. Like, she does not, she looks 50, honestly. But she, the girls are like, obviously like jealous pissed because she's doing like a lap dance basically to Gary and able to, and like no one else thought of that or probably like would have the talent to do it, whatever. But so there's some of that, which is totally natural. And I thought it was funny how they really kind of showed that. So then we cut to Joan, who is of course worried that she and she doesn't really have a talent. So what she did was she wrote a poem that was titled, "I Hope I Don't Vomit on Gary's Shoes." And that was funny. But then as she read the poem, it was super cute, like so creative and genuine. And like, it was like very sweet in reference to Gary and her time together so far. So it was so endearing. And he, of course, Gary gets teary-eyed, and it was just the cutest thing. So of course she wins the competition, and they get to go on a dinner date together. So it was kind of like a one-on-one. So it was like a group date that merged into a one-on-one, because they officially had a dinner. It wasn't just like sometimes when they do a group date and the winner gets a little extra time, and so they give them like an hour together, you know, just to the side, kind of. This was like a whole date where they had time to talk. And Joan's husband also died, and her daughter just had a baby, and they talk about that. So I guess her daughter had a really tough time with it sounded like both the pregnancy and the delivery. And it was only like 15 days, like 2 weeks ago, that she had the baby. So they talked about how she had just decided she was going to do this for herself, because like, she doesn't ever really do stuff for herself like this. And, she said that she had dated a year after her husband died, but it was just like too soon, she figured out, to date. And so now it has been 2.5 years, and that's when she decided to go on the show. And, Gary made this, they really, really clicked. And Gary made a toast to her about being excited to spend time with her, as excited as he's ever really been with anyone so far. And of course, gives her the rose at this date. I really like Joan. She seems, again, like such a super genuine person. I love how these women also come across as so sort of selfless. And like, even being in their 60s and 70s, you know, have priorities. Like, they're here, they want to get to know Gary, but like, they know themselves well enough and are, I don't know. Like, so anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. So, go to commercial. When we cut back, Joan is talking to her daughter on the phone. And I guess, I don't know how this works with them getting their phones taken away, because they're not really supposed to, or they're not, at least in past seasons, they're not supposed to have their phone. Hang on, let me see how much time I have left. Okay, so they're not really supposed to have their phone, but apparently maybe her daughter, I'm sure that they have these exceptions where their phones are accessible, and somehow her daughter texted her that she must be having issues with this, whatever the problems she had in her delivery, she must be having issues. And she was really like scared, and whatever the case may be, obviously weren't specific about what it was, but Joan was talking to her, and she ITMs that her daughter really needs her mom, and that this delivery was really hard, and she just feels like she needs to be there for her daughter because it's her daughter's first child and all of that, which totally relate and makes complete sense to me. So she says she selfishly, and I love how she words this, because it's like so like self-aware. Like, she's like, "I selfishly wanted to be here, but my family needs me." And but it's like so humble. Like she's viewing being on the show as like a selfish act, not just like something cool to do, but like it was totally for her. Which doesn't mean that it's selfish, but it's like endearing hearing her call it that. I don't know how to explain it. It's just like I feel like these women are so not into themselves, and they are so aware and conscientious of their loved ones and outside of their world. You know, like, they know they're not the center of the universe. So she says, "I have to like go, I have to leave," even though she had this like really great connection. So she tells the women about that she has to leave, and they're so like genuinely feel so bad for her, because they all the women that she talked to, which included Susan and I can't remember several other ones, were like literally crying for her and so sad for her that she had to leave because they knew what great date she had with Gary the night before. And they were so, so genuinely happy for her that they were even like teary eyed and crying. But they show Gary coming to the mansion, and he was there for the one-on-one, I think, right? And when he pulls up, she meets him out there, and like all of this stuff, I really don't think like he had a clue. Like, I don't think that they knew, they had given him a heads up that this was all happening. The producers. But she meets him in the driveway, and he's like, you know, what's going on? And she tells him the news, and he legit gets so emotional, and he tells her like he is again crying. And I really feel like he's partly crying because she's having to go through this, and he can kind of relate because he has daughters too, but yet he's also super disappointed that she's leaving, because I think he really felt the connection that they had. So, and he was talking about how happy he was this morning when he got up after their date, and like, he's just truly, truly upset, but so immensely understanding, like completely doesn't make her feel guilty at all. Says he understands. Somehow he conveys all of that in his emotion and in his face and in his reactions to it. Somehow he gets across that he's super disappointed, but yet it's not guilting her. And he's so understanding, but that his emotion shows how much like he's sad she's leaving. Can I marry him? So then we get him sitting on the bench crying when she gets into the limo and leaves. And I'm legit almost like crying, not like tears coming out of my eyes, but I like wanted to sob for a second. And I'm not just saying that. Like, I felt so terrible for both of them. Like, oh my God, it was just something. And she says something here that really spoke to me. And this might sound weird, but she says in her ITM in the limo that as you get older, you get more invisible and people don't see you anymore. Like, this is how she said it, quote, as you get older, you get more invisible. People don't see you anymore. Like, you're not as significant as when you're young. And she was saying that in respect to, because she had such a great time with Gary and she felt like significant with him and it meant so much to her. And that's part of the reason why it was so hard for her to leave, because she actually felt like that. Because as you get like, I know I'm not 70 like her, 65 or whatever she is, but it's so true. Like, maybe only people of my age and older like know what that means, and maybe not even everybody does, but it does feel like you become invisible a little bit. And you're for whatever reason, youth gets the attention and youth gets the focus, and you do, like, your kids leave, you feel like even though they need you, you feel like they don't really in the end. And I don't know, it just really spoke to me. And when she said that, I was like, I was done. I was bawling, crying. It was done. So then it was commercial. And then when we get back, there was this Michael Costello, who's a fashion designer, and he comes in to the women and then mansion announces that he is dressing the one-on-one date winner. And that is Ellen. So Ellen gets a one-on-one date. Then they show Gary, and he's of course talking about Joan and everything and how he's disappointed, but that he knows that she's doing the right thing. And like, he's got to move on because there's all these other women. So that was, again, kind of a bachelor comment, but he means it. So it's like a pretty woman date. There's very often this pretty woman date where they get to get dressed up and get like these free clothes and, you know, get pampered with clothes and shoes and like this special date. So this is sort of like a pretty woman date, but it's not, Gary is not present when she's on this. It's just this Michael Costello guy, and she's trying on all these dresses and like opening the dressing room curtain and like going like, ta-da kind of thing. And they're picking out which dress that she wants. So she ends up with this hot pink strapless dress that has this like bow at the hip. It was pretty, very pretty on her. She comes out then with the dress on, and like Gary's sitting with all the other women when she comes out, and he meets her, and everyone is like ooing and eyeing over her dress and how pretty she looks. And it's the cute, like he says, just like he needs to write a book on how to treat women, like for real. Like he is just like the best. So he comes out and he tells her how great she looks, but he ITMs that the big smile on her face is what completed the look. Like, oh my gosh, that's so sweet. So he says that he really gets along with Ellen, like they're really good friends, but he's looking to see if he can get a romantic connection with her. They're talking about the wedding, their weddings, their respective weddings. And she asks him like if he remembers his wedding date. And I love this too, because I feel like if this is the younger bachelor and they had been married before, he'd say something like, or I don't know, in a different context, they would have him go, oh yes, it was the best day of my life. And she was so beautiful. And I can just see her coming down the, like, you know, like this perfect answer. But he's like, honestly, I don't remember the wedding date because it was like 50 years ago. It's just so true. It was like 50 years ago. And he's like, I remember things. And this is so true. He's like, I remember things because I see pictures of it. And then that like is like, oh yeah, I mean, I remember that. But like, again, in an older person's mind, that's true. Like, I feel so bad sometimes because my kids will be like, hey, remember that one time? And I'll be like, no, I don't remember that. Like, was I there? Like, no, I don't remember that. Like, you feel like you should remember every like part, especially because like my kids remembered it. So it must have meant something to them. But like, how do I not remember it? And so again, such a real thing for him to say. And he said the day was just like a blur, which often wedding days are because they're so crazy busy. And again, like he said, that was 50 years ago. But then he does talk about how poor they were when they got married and whatever. Okay, had this conversations. Then he tells her that he does have something to complete her look. He tells Ellen this, and he gets out some earrings that are Neil Lane earrings. Very clearly says Neil Lane on the box. I don't know. I made a note here that I just am not feeling it. I like Ellen. I think she's sweet, but I feel like that romantic connection he was talking about, I feel like they don't really have that. So I don't know. She might go, it's so hard for me. This is the hardest season for me to make a prediction on who's going to win. Like, this is the first season where I didn't really want to, and I don't have a clue who is going to win. Like, I just don't know. I am not ruling out Joan coming back. I'm not ruling that out. I feel like that could happen. But I don't know. I don't think it's Ellen. She might go far, but anyway, then they go to like walk down this road and get around the corner, and there's a hot air balloon, and they go on a hot air balloon ride, and they like kiss while they're up in the hot air balloon. But you know, again, what I love here is that because it's only an hour, I just feel like they need to do this with all the bachelors now. But they cut the date short, but not in a bad way. Like, we saw enough conversation at the meal to like get to know Ellen, get to know Gary. We know that they had this romantic like hot air balloon ride, but they didn't like spend like a whole segment on just the hot air balloon ride and like interjecting with ITMs of unnecessary like dialogue in the ITM that we don't really need to hear, and like go on and on, and then have fireworks at the end and do this, and then have somebody come out and perform a song while they dance and make out all over. Like, it's not super extended, but we get the point and it gets to the point. I just love it. I love, love, love how they did this date. So then we cut back to the mansion and we get, Kathy like ITMing again about, Teresa, going on and on about her date with Gary. So, well, what they really do is they show a conversation between Gary. I mean, sorry, Kathy and Teresa. And she is, she's like going, oh, and whenever we were doing this, he made me feel this way. And then we talked about this and he said this and I said this and blah, 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 blah. And Kathy was doing what probably most did. And she was like nodding and going, but in her ITM, she was like, oh my God, Teresa won't shut up about her date. Like, doesn't she know that like, we don't really want to hear that? We're all dating the same guy. And like, so why would we want to hear that? Which is so true. Like it is so true, but really Teresa seems clueless. Like she doesn't get that. It's almost like she's talking to Kathy, not realizing that Kathy's dating the same guy. It is a weird thing. Teresa seems a bit. So again, I had said this before that Teresa reminds me of Esther from Young the Restless. That 30-minute mark caught me again. So she reminds me of Esther from Young the Restless. And it's funny because Esther's character, if you don't watch Young the Restless, is like such a airhead, ditzy kind of a person. Like she is always like, oh, I didn't get that kind of a vibe. And that feels like that's Teresa. Like, actually, that's why I don't see her with Gary, or I don't really want to, because I don't see him with a personality like that. I don't think she could challenge him, if that's the right way to say it. But I feel like that's really how she is. Like, she doesn't get that's not what you should be doing, is talking about your date on and on. But it's like, because she truly doesn't get it. I don't think she's being malicious at all, which Kathy references later in the show. Like, I can't decide if she's just that clueless or if she's like really manipulative in that way. And I really, really don't think that's the case. It would shock me if it is. But anyway, so we get like this first drama, like really kind of playing out here. And, we get like, it was like Kathy was sitting with someone else then and kind of talking about this, but for whatever reason, this upset her that Teresa was doing this. Okay. So she like walks off. Then they, so it goes to commercial. When they come back, all the women are sort of sitting around together, and April makes some kind of a comment to everyone that, you know, she really thinks that they take this sort of, this is definitely edited in because it makes it seem like she's saying this out of the blue. And obviously it would be a weird thing to say out of the blue, but she says something like, you know, if you have an intimate moment with Gary, I think it's better if you just like keep your mouth shut, like don't talk about it. And like some of the women agree, like they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's like Teresa gets that maybe she's talking about her, and she ITMs that. But she says, so like, I don't really know what she's talking about. So I want to make sure with April that her and I are okay. Again, have to appreciate this though. She doesn't like then go talking about April behind her back to somebody. She is like, I want to go to her and figure this out. Like if she's mad at me, I want to figure it out. So got to appreciate that. Love that. Then Teresa ITMs that, and it is, it's like, she's aware of how The Bachelor works and that she's in this bubble and that she is actually, so maybe here I should give her a little bit of credit, because if she does have some self-realization, it's like she is realizing that The Bachelor always has these girls that start drama, and she makes like some comment about, I can't believe that I'm like part of this, but she, it's not like she's realizing that what she did is legitimate for April to say that, if that makes sense. So, they show Kathy with, Gary, and he asks how she is. I forgot that this is the rose ceremony. Sorry. This is rose ceremony night. And we're at the cocktail party now. And, so Teresa ITMs that she thinks that, wait, where am I? Hang on a second. I'm lost. Okay. Oh, so Kathy's with Gary. He's like, is something wrong? And she gets emotional and she said, it's a really hard day. And Gary asks her why. And she said, there's been a lot of meanness today and there's been a lot of daggers thrown. And he asks if there's someone in particular that he should be looking out for. And she doesn't really say, she doesn't throw Teresa under the bus or anything, or at least I don't show her doing that. And Like, the only thing that was a little bit off here for me is that I wasn't sure what she meant by, like, there's a lot of daggers thrown and there was a lot of meanness today. Because I think she has to see that Teresa wasn't being mean. And it wasn't like there was a lot of women being mean to her and throwing daggers at her. But for whatever reason, she really took this personally, that Teresa talking about her. It was like she kept trying to say that it was like Teresa almost acted like she knew she was going to win and that no one else really had a chance. But she was like super offended and sensitive to that, which we had not seen that side of Kathy. She kind of looks like this hard shell exterior, being this colorful moderator all the time. But because she was like upset by it, Gary left and came back with a rose. Well, this isn't a group date, so there's no group date rose. So this is definitely a producer rose or a Gary rose. I can't really like it. It's just maybe Gary being nice, because I feel like this was not pre-planned. Whatever, for whatever reason, somehow he gets a rose from somewhere and gives it to Kathy so that she feels better because she had a rough day. So she came back in and shows all the women that she got a rose, and they all literally were like so excited for her. They were like, oh my God, that's so, they didn't ask why or how that happens or that's not supposed to happen or anything. They're just like happy for her. And except Teresa, they kind of show her having this weird look, and they show Kathy, or they show Teresa confronting Kathy and saying, hey, can we talk? And they go to the steps and they sit on the steps and talk. And she asks Kathy, like, what's going on? I understand that you're like, I feel like you're upset with me. So Kathy just flat out tells her, like, you know, what was wrong? You shouldn't be talking about, like, I can't believe, like, you know, it makes other people not feel good about their connection with Gary. But like immediately Teresa like realizes it, I guess, or sees that maybe her actions were not appropriate. And she feels like super, super bad and is like apologizing. This part would never happen in the regular Bachelor. This would become this huge like fight between the two girls where Teresa would be ITMing that she's not here to make friends. I'm not here to make friends. She's just jealous and blah, 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 blah. That's how it would go down in the regular Bachelor. And this one, Teresa's like apologizing, saying that's not what I meant. Oh my gosh, I feel mortified that that's how everyone is viewing this. I feel terrible, blah, 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 blah. And Kathy's not like really, like she's kind of feeling bad. She's crying, but she's like, well, you just need to know that. Like you shouldn't be doing this. But they have such a like a mature conversation where there's accountability taken, but there's honesty and there's directness. And it's just like, that's it. So then Teresa sort of gets upset. Let's see. She's so embarrassed, came down. Kathy goes, then they leave each other, where Teresa goes into another room and is crying because she feels so bad about it and is horrified. And Kathy goes in with the other women and is saying, yeah, we had this conversation and I told her she needed to be accountable for it, blah, blah, blah. Well, Leslie went and checked, I think it was Leslie, went and checked on Teresa, and the two of them were talking about it. And she's like, I did not realize I was doing that. I feel so bad. And Leslie's trying to make her feel better. But Gary, like, somehow comes in and is like, what's going on? So Leslie leaves him to talk to Teresa, and Teresa, like, just tells Gary what happened. Like, I guess I made women feel bad. And like, this is what happened. But Gary then like talks to her and tries to make her feel better, but yet isn't like, oh, I'm sure that's not true. But he ITMs and now there's this disturbance and it could be a stumbling block. So we cut to the last segment, which is the rose ceremony. And he like uses these words that aren't, again, token canned Bachelor talk. He says, as time passes by, that they have to keep hope about the journey and the process that they're going through. I guess it's a little bit Bachelor talk, but in a, just a different way. And Gary's saying it. I love Gary. So the roses are like this. Faith is the first, then Sandra, then Leslie, then Nancy, then Susan, then April, and then Teresa. So that was, of course, sort of supposed to be like the cliffhanger. Like, was Teresa going to actually get a rose after she seemingly kind of caused drama? Well, she does. And Edith and Christina go home. Teresa, then they show Teresa talking to Kathy. Like, it's like she's trying to make peace, I guess. And she asks Kathy, standing in line, if she had a nice time tonight with Gary. And she was like, yeah, it was nice. And then she goes, oh, me too. She was like, Gary came into the room. I was crying about all of that we talked about. And like, he just made me feel so seen and heard. And Kathy immediately, not ITMs it, not puts up with it. She immediately says to Teresa, okay, now like, that's the kind of stuff that you have to keep to yourself. Like, she just flat out tells Teresa, like, we just talked about this. This is the kind of stuff that you can't say. And then that's when she ITMs, like, I just don't think Teresa gets it. She either, I don't know if she's stupid or if she knows exactly what she's doing is how she says it. So then the tag is Kathy getting her hair fixed. And she's saying, if I don't go home with Gary, Susan's fixing it. Because of course, Susan's the one that, she's like the kind of the Kris Jenner-ish lookalike, but she is also the hairdresser. And she's like, if I don't go home with Gary, I'm going home with Susan, which was cute. All right. So now we're cutting to Bachelor in Paradise. My thorn in my side. I just, ugh. Okay. This is painful for me. So we're going to kind of, you know, not spend a ton of time on this. I had to take a drink of wine for that one. Okay. The show starts off with, I can't even remember who says it, Aaron S. or somebody. And they say something to the effect of like, okay, so we're at a new week of paradise and a new week of drama, which to me says everything, because it's not like they have the person saying it's a new week of paradise, a new week of fun, a new week of friends, whatever. Like, they automatically just know that they're all there for the drama. And again, I will say it again, after watching The Golden Bachelor, like, I'm so not here for the drama anymore. I don't need it. Or I don't need this extent. Like, I don't need this extent. Why can't it just be for fun? They do this token thing where Aaron S. is breaking down who all the couples are. He's like, oh, there's some connections forming. And then he goes through who all the couples are. And, you know, I guess it's just like a refresher for us. They show Brayden with Kat and they talk about how hard he's falling. That is a real focus and narrative of this episode, is Kat and Brayden. They try to do these like funny things with the Chirons, and Chiron meaning like when they have Brayden's name and then they usually have their like age and where they're from or what their job is. But it says Brayden falling hard and fast underneath the Chiron, which, you know, it's like a subtle thing. Probably not everyone even notices that it says that. So you kind of have to watch for them. So they're a little bit Easter egg-y, kind of like you have to look for it. So it's a little bit cute, but some of them are whatever. I'm just so negative towards this show. So then we get Tanner. He is from Charity Season. He arrives on the beach and he says he's looking forward to a couple girls, and he names Kat and Jess. Jesse meets him on the steps and they talk about this. So then he comes down and he asks to talk to Jess first, and their conversation is so freaking awkward that it makes me uncomfortable. Like, she says something about, she has a blue swimming suit on. He says something about the blue swimming suit looking good on her. And she says, yeah, it's like the color of the ocean. What? And then he's like, yeah, have you gone in the ocean? What? No, nope. We're here at the beach, but I don't go in that ocean. What? Why would I go in there? Have you gone in the ocean? And then she goes and progresses to talk about how she tripped, like, over, I guess, when she was going in the ocean, over on some rock. And she like turns around to point at the rock that she tripped over, and then talks about how she hurt her leg. Weird and awkward. Oh my God. What are you talking about? So then he talks to Cat too, and of course Brayden's pissed, and he asks Cat to go on the date. Okay, saw this coming a mile away. But I guess it was like shitty because she didn't even have a conversation with Brayden and say, hey, like, are you okay with this? I'd really like to just do that. Like, just at least sit him down and have a conversation with him. And like everyone else, of course, on the beach supposedly notices this too and aren't impressed either. So she gets dressed, ready for the date, and she like walks literally right past Brayden and like is talking to everyone, but like it's like she's avoiding him, like literally walks within inches of him. And he's like kind of upset or mad about that. It's just weird. What they should do then is have Brayden say, F this, like whatever. Don't need you. So then we get to has a commercial, and they come back, and their date is like riding horses. So they go do that. Aroness is trying to comfort Brayden, like he's super bummed. They has all this segment was Brayden being so upset and sad that Kat is with him. Then them showing Tanner and Kat on the beach, and he tells her that she was on his short list of people he wanted to be there, and it's just them having this like massive connection instantly again after like 3 minutes of being together. And they're like making out hard while Brayden's back on the beach, like all sad guy. Okay, next segment. That's all that was. Then we have this like weird conversation about Jess and Blake are having, like, they try to throw in this funny stuff, but it just makes their players look stupid. I don't, why do they do this? I don't understand. Like, these people are all coming back to paradise. I wish they would. And I know it's supposed to be a lighter, fun show, but I don't know that making them seem like they're freaking idiots is the way to do it. Like, it, put them up a little bit on a pedestal that they all like came back being in this Bachelor franchise and they're legitimately trying to find a relationship. Like, they're making the lightheartedness, they're going about trying to make the show lighthearted in such a weird way. I don't know, but they like Blake tells Jess that he only eats birds, and that it was like this whole conversation about how she doesn't get it because she thinks when he says birds, she's not thinking chicken. She's thinking like pigeons or like seagulls. And she's like, what? And then like she's like, oh, like she finally gets it. And then it's like, oh, I was wondering, like, where do you buy a pigeon? And then he's like, it was, oh my God, so useless. So then they make it, of course, seem like, oh, it's just a chill day on the beach. And then we go again over who all the couples are. And like, okay, we get who all the couples are. We can see. You know, we understand, we're not stupid. So we know it's time for someone to come down because everyone's, of course, comfortable. You know, like, again, it's just so predictable. So Tyler Norris comes down. He was on Rachel and Gabby's season. And but we don't see him talking to Jesse. I don't know how they decide which people get to greet Jesse on the way down and which ones don't. That's just weird. At this point, I made a note in. And I know Olivia is making for maybe good TV and like this funny, colorful narrator job, and that like I'm sure she's doing what she's supposed to be doing, like prompted by the producers, but she's kind of getting on my last nerve because she is so over the top and aggressive with all of her, like everything she says in her ITMs. We're not even really getting that much time with her on the beach anymore. It's mostly her ITMs where she like has such extreme opinions of everything and is so animated, which I guess could be entertaining to some people, but she just kind of gets on my nerves. I don't really like her. Anyway, she, let's see, what is she's, oh, So Rachel, so he comes down. Sorry, I was whispering my notes to myself, trying to see where I'm at. He comes down, he goes and talks to Rachel. Rachel ITMs how she like she is interested in going on a date with him because they've always had this like little flirty thing, even though she didn't end up with him on her season. Obviously, she didn't end up with anybody or anymore. He pulls her first, and they seem to have all this like chemistry and they seem to be like really getting along well. And everyone's like watching them talk and like making these judgment calls about how it's all going. And if we remember, Rachel's with Sean right now. Brayden actually says he thinks it'd be kind of cute if they got together since they were on the same season together. He comes back and he pulls Jess, and then he also pulls, then they have this conversation. Then he pulls Mercedes and she's seeming like totally into him. But as you remember, she like got with Will on the, before the rose ceremony when the men were giving the roses away. And, So Will is like now losing another girl who totally made him like feel so special that he cried last episode. Okay. So they're making it look like really that he's picking, Mercedes after all of this. Okay. And he does, he comes back and that's who he chooses for the date is Mercedes. Okay. So like poor Will, cause like, again, another sad guy moment. So then we come back. We know that this is the episode where we have Poopgate. And like, I have not been looking forward to this episode because I was afraid it was going to be the whole episode. And it may as well have, because it probably got about an hour of the time. But long story short, Sam, the one who was like the night oneer on Zach's season, I guess, and is with Aaron S., right? Yeah. So she can't poop. She's not pooped for 9 days and they start making this an issue. They have like this doctor come in that has a talk with her about how it like at 10 days, which is like the next morning, they probably will have to make a decision about she having to leave and taking some other kind of more aggressive, they have to like do something more aggressive to make her poop. Like basically they start talking about how, I guess it's surgical in some way where they have to basically deliver a poop baby. So we get a whole freaking conversation about a poop baby and we have the producers with the ER doctor or the doctor in ITM asking about like, if he's delivered a poop baby before and how big it was and how much it weighed. And I'm thinking, what are we talking about? What are we doing right now? Why are we in Bachelor in Paradise having a whole segment about a poop baby? This is so disgusting to me. And I can't decide if I'm like watching a 7-year-old, like raunchy 7-year-old show where like, do people get a kick out of poop and pee talk? I don't get a kick out of poop and pee talk. And they have these gross like visuals, like that stupid turtle visual that we've been seeing for 3 weeks now, where the turtle's head is coming out of his shell and it looks like somebody pooping. It's so gross. But then they also have like this stupid gopher that's popping out of this hole and it's supposed to, I guess, look like poop. Why are we doing this? Ew, it is so gross. And I'm so annoyed. And why are we talking about poop? Can we make this an hour show and not talk about poop? How about that? How about let's do that? Because I bet there's been people that haven't been able to poop before and we don't have to hear about it. Like, oh, what is happening? Whatever. So they even start a clock. Like that was like a, whatever it was, 12 hours before the time period with which they've determined that they have to like, she has to go off the show to like deliver her poop baby at the hospital. Like it's actually a clock timer at the bottom of the freaking screen. Oh, okay. So then we come back after this commercial, after the whole freaking segment about poop, and we recap everything again. Okay. We got recapping the poop. Then we recap Brayden and Kat. And then we recap like Rachel and Sean. And like, this is okay. So, and we're recapping it because Sean is talking to Wells. That's how we're recapping everything. So he's updating Wells on all this stuff as if Wells needs recapping. First of all, we know he doesn't need recapping because he's like part of the show. But then also I'm like, we don't need recapping. We literally just saw all this stupid shit. Literally stupid shit is what we've seen. So you don't need to recap it. Okay. We don't need a recap. So whatever, Kat and Tanner come back from their date and she goes and talks to Sean and basically just breaks it off with him and like, 3 minutes flat in their conversation. He's like, okay, like what? And it was definitely like let's just rip this Band-Aid off, get it over, like on Kat's part, and get this over with. So Brayden goes and vents to the guys who, which is kind of funny now because he's totally getting his redemption arc now. Like, so all the guys that hated him on his show, Aaron B, who is the one that he had that like massive fight with, where Aaron B like yells at the non-existent driver in that Sprinter van, you know, to leave when there really wasn't a driver. You know. But like all the guys from his season, like him now, which I knew would happen because it could totally tell that Brayden was actually a likable guy. He might have weird style, but he is a likable guy. All right. So then the next segment, they have Brayden talking again and his Chiron is learning life lessons, which is kind of funny, but okay. So, then they are just, okay, make a note that they're continuing to dwell on Brayden and Kat. So now Brayden's talking to Wells, where he's giving him a breakdown of what happened with he and Kat. And again, why are we doing this? Why? It's just like proof that there is not enough content for them to fill this half hour with. I mean, half hour. God, I wish. This 2 hours with. Because they just recap everything from segment to segment. And why with Wells? Let's hear, I don't know, let Wells have some other like job. Like, just because he's the bartender doesn't mean we have to have recaps with Wells. Just, oh, so frustrated. Anyway, they're clearly making Kat kind of like the villain here. Kat comes over and her friends, Jess and Kaylee, tell her, like, it feels like maybe you were a little bit cold to Brayden about this whole thing. And she gets so freaking defensive about it. It's like they pull her to the side and they tell her that like Brayden is upset about how she sort of broke it off with him. And she like gets so defensive, like immediately gets like so mad at Brayden and so defensive. And Jess is like, now just like, just hear me out. Just like hear what I'm saying. And she almost gets like pissed at Jess. And Jess even sort of rolls her eyes and looks at Kaylee like, help me out here. Like, what the freak? So they show Kat's Chiron. It says cold as ice, which is kind of true. Then so she goes and asks Brayden to talk. They go talk and she literally will not let him speak. So he's very calmly trying to explain why it upset him. And she's just like, he'll get three words out and she starts telling him why he's wrong and why he's like handling this terribly when obviously she is. And she tells him that he's being so argumentative and confrontational, which is not shown at all. If he was, it's like the opposite because he was just trying to speak, like just speak period. And like she won't hear of it and like she just blows up and walks off and he was like, okay, I guess I don't even know what that conversation was about, whatever. Again, she's definitely getting a villain edit. He's definitely getting his redemption arc, but I'm actually don't have a problem with that. Let's see. So then Sean breaks down. Yeah, so we get another recap here where Sean is telling Tanner about Will's experience so far and why he's like gotten the short end of the stick so far on like the women and spending time with people. And which is when we cut to Mercedes and Tyler's date. Because Will is like really sad guying, like Brayden was. He's really sad guying. And so then she's telling Tyler that he was the number one on her list. Hang on. I am going to catch my 30 minutes. It's been 30 minutes. I'm getting close, but I've got to stop. I'll be right back. Okay. Back again. So, anyway, we're on Mercedes and Tyler's date and like, they're really looking hard for reasons they should be together because, well, they saw a shooting star, which they're taking as a sign that they're meant to be on this date together. But then they see a raccoon on their date. And I guess that is another sign that they should be together. What? If that's like some kind of a sign indication is raccoons. Like that is definitely a new one for me. Like, DM me, let me know if that's a thing. But I'm pretty sure they're kind of looking for stuff. Like, oh my God, there's a June bug. That totally means that we're supposed to be together. But yeah, they see a raccoon. So they've seen a shooting star and a raccoon. So I don't know. That definitely is meant to be shit. So, okay. They kiss and she says she's never been so happy in her life. Like, see, women on Golden Bachelor don't say that because, like, they literally have know that they've been that happy in their life at some point, but they don't just say stuff they don't mean. I've never been this happy in my life. Okay. So then they show Will walking down the beach, very sad again. And I made a note here that this dragging on of this date is literally the same, like her, like Mercedes and Tyler. It's the kind of stuff I was talking about in Golden Bachelor, where they don't like elongate this date so far that we're just get bored and start scrolling our phone instead. That's what I was doing. They just drag it on. Segment 8, I make my first notice, please let this be over soon. Then they have Will sobbing to Wells. Like, he's just like complaining about this whole thing with Mercedes again and how, whatever. Ugh. They have Mercedes coming back with Tyler. She pulls Will to talk to him. She says she's going to sleep on the whole thing because she really had a good time with Tyler. This was actually respectful. She had a really good time with Tyler, but she really likes Will too, but she's just going to sleep on it for a while. And he thanks her for communicating with him. So, cause at least she communicated him with him in a fairly healthy way, like unlike Kat. Okay. Next segment, we're back to the poop fest, which I almost forgot about for a second, but then we are back on it. And we learn that we have 6 hours to go until the time. And then she goes and talks to Wells about it. What is happening? Why are you going to talk to Wells about your freaking constipation? Does he want to hear this? No, I don't think he does. I don't. So her and Aaron S. talk about it. That's who she's with. And she tells him the whole story. And he's like, he declares that he's going to get it out of her. So he brings her down a poo-poo platter. Funny, funny, ha-ha. It contains Mexican food, beans. He brings coffee. He brings shots of olive oil. And like, I guess he's going to feed her all this. They start doing like these lunge things and like walking and stuff for her to poop. Okay, I'm not going to lie. There's a little bit, like a tiny little part of me that is like anxious to see if she actually poops. Okay, fine. Like, I know it feels really good if you haven't pooped for a few days and then you poop. It does feel kind of like you like actually give birth to a poop baby. Like Becky, if you're listening to this, which I don't think you are, but you know what I'm talking about. But that's a private joke that only Becky will get. I'm going to have to tell you, Becky, like this is an hour in. You'll have to, it's like a, whatever. No one cares. I don't care. But I just want the poop stuff to be over. So I hope the next show starts with that. And we just know immediately if it's over. Okay. So then that's it. Then that's the end of the show. Thank God. We get previews where they literally spoil everything. We learn who gets the one-on-one dates. We get learn everything. They spoil literally everything. I don't know why they do this. I don't even want to watch. I feel like I know what happens based on the previews. And that was only like 30 seconds long. That's what I need. They have the tag. This is the kind of stuff I'd actually like to see more of. Not where they're making everyone look stupid, but like this was it was Brayden, Sean, Aaron B, and Jess. I think that was those four. And I don't know if I'm gonna use the right terminology here, but like Aaron B, like, gives Brayden a beat. Am I saying that right? Like, like that kind of stuff. And then Brayden just like off the hip, what do you call that? Like off the hip does this rap. I know you call that something. I don't know what you call it. I'm old. But he does it about their experience so far, and it's really freaking good. I mean, it's funny and it's good. And like, that should have been part of the show. They make that part of the show, I'm tuning in. I seriously. Okay, I'm done. Thank you. Thank you. I tried this week to get somebody else on. I did not have success. I will continue to try and get a guest on to help me recap. I was trying to get somebody new on that was a little bit younger that would maybe give me a different perspective. But anyway, I'm going to continue trying. Please tune in next week again. I'd love to give you another Rose interview. Going to try to maybe work on that too. But in the meantime, thank you for tuning in. Tell all your friends, go rate, review, do all the things, subscribe. Love you guys. My Bible verse for the day is, the heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. This is Psalm 19, verse 1. Basically, to me, this is saying, if you're having a bad day, like, just look around, look up at the heavens, at the stars, at the beautiful sunrise, at the beautiful sunset, to see God's workmanship, because it's out there. And also, the two, in my opinion, best books of the Bible are Psalms and Proverbs. So if you have any interest in the Bible and just seeing more what it has to give to your life, start with those two books. That's it. I will hope you have a good week. And yeah, I guess we'll talk to you next time. Goodbye.